55 years of making albums, over 100 albums, the author of 3 recent books, winner of 12 Grammys, including one for last year's Willie Nelson Sings Gershwin, and the recipient of the Library of Congress Gershwin Prize for Popular Song. Willie, does it seem real or like I'm talking about someone else's blessed life?
Yeah, it's hard to believe that, you know, all this going on at one time.
Well, now there's God's Problem Child. It's your first collection of all new material in 3 years since Band of Brothers, I think. Do you see God's Problem Child as kind of a concept album?
Yeah, it is. And it's the song was written by Jamie Johnson and Tony Joe White. It's a great song. It's just pure poetry, you know, and they did a great job doing their part. Leon's on there. It's probably the last thing he recorded. It's a special record.
So the fact that there's kind of a concept that runs through it, that just happened?
I don't know. Me and Buddy just kind of picked the tunes that we felt went with the... there wasn't really a major concept. It was just like a lot of good songs, you know.
Why did you choose God's Problem Child as the album title, or did you choose it?
Yeah, I did. Well, you know, we chose it together, but I think it was... a lot of people can relate to that, you know. Everyone kind of feels like they might be.
You think you might be?
Oh, there's no doubt.
As you said, Leon's on the song, Tony Joe White and Jamie co-wrote it. You play some incredible guitar on that particular song, especially God's Problem Child. Was it Leon Russell who gave your guitar Trigger its name?
No. I named it after Roy Rogers' horse, Trigger.
About how old is Trigger?
Oh, maybe 50 years.
Wow. Yeah. You returned to Sony, your longtime home as a label, to their legacy label in 2011, and in that time you've had a run of 9 incredible studio albums. Do you feel that, like you're on a roll right now?
I think so. I feel like, well, like you say, I think Buddy and I have a thing going where we can kind of read each other's minds and write together and record. And it seems to be working pretty well. As you say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Well, Buddy, that would be your producer, Buddy Cannon.
Buddy Cannon.
And also, he's produced most recently Alison Krauss, but he's worked with Kenny Chesney and George Jones. And after all you went through in Nashville over the years, it's interesting that you've connected so strongly with Buddy, who's a Nashville guy.
Well, I never had a problem with Nashville. I lived there for a long time, you know, and it wasn't... I think they had a problem with me more than I had a problem with them. Guys like me and Waylon kind of rubbed them the wrong way sometimes, and that's kind of what we intended to do.
Buddy's 92-year-old mom, Lindell Rhodes, wrote the album's opener, Little House on the Hill. So did Buddy pitch you his mom's song?
He did. And am I going to say no?
To your own producer?
And fortunately, it's a great song. It's simple, it's to the point, and I can really hear her doing it, you know.
You've co-written 7 songs on the album with Buddy Cannon, and from what I've heard, you co-write via text?
Pretty much. I'll come up with an idea and send it to him, and I'll write a verse or two, and I'll say, write something. So he'll write another verse, and we'll kick it back. And then at some point, we'll figure out a melody to put on it, and then he'll go in the studio with the musicians there in Nashville, and he's got the best phone book in the world, you know. He can call all the great musicians and get them in there, and they cut the record. And Buddy does a vocal on it himself, and then when we get 12 or 15 of them together, I'll go into my studio in Austin and take his vocal off and put mine on.
So you have to keep your phone pretty close these days.
That's a true story.
Is co-writing something that comes easy to you?
No. There's only one other guy that I was able to write with, and that was Hank Cochran. He and I wrote a lot of stuff together.
There's one song on God's Problem Child that you didn't write. It's the tribute, well, there's several, but one I want to talk about is the tribute to Merle Haggard. Texan Gary Nicholson wrote it. I'd imagine that would have been a tough one for you to sit down and write a song about your friend Merle.
Well, yeah, this early, you know. Gary's a great writer. I thought he did a good job.
Agreed. Was it tough to sing?
Well, yeah, of course it was.
But you had Merle's son Ben on the track, though?
Right.
That might have made it nicer.
Sweet. That was, you know, I thought that was good, and I thought he did a good job.
As one of millions of people who love you and love your music, I'm always startled when I read the paper or my websites in the morning and it talks about some health issue that you supposedly have. Is that what inspired Still Not Dead, that song where you say...
Yeah. I think it went all the way back to when I first recorded On the Road Again, and somebody said, hey, you know, Willie, you got singing On the Road Again and a truck hit him. So, and that's been going on all those 40 years or however long that song's been out. So then other things come along and they say, well, he's dead, he's dying, he's sick. And that's cool, as long as they're spelling the name right.
Well, for the record, you look great, you sound great.
You went okay.
We'll put that out there for people to wake up to. But I love that line, I woke up still not dead again. there's a song on God's Problem Child called Delete and Fast Forward.
Right.
And seems pretty obviously that that's politically inspired. Do you hesitate to write a song that addresses the politics of the day?
Not really, because I think that's what writers do or should do. If they have a point of view, they shouldn't be afraid to say it.
You know, I get pretty anxious about all this stuff. I try not to look at the websites when I wake up or my Twitter feed. Certain people tweet a lot of stuff, no names. So I try to stay positive, and I'm being really sincere here. I saw a video of you the other day, and you talked about staying positive and not worrying. And I just wondered what helps you achieve that in your life.
Well, I think if you don't do that, you get sick and die, period. You know, if you start thinking all those negative thoughts, that affects no one but you. You know, you're responsible for your own thoughts, and they will kill you if they're poisonous thoughts, if they're negative thoughts. You're just putting poison into your body anytime you say something negative about anything or anybody. So out of self-defense, don't do that.
But you have to strengthen your mind. I mean, I try to meditate. I've never done martial arts, but you are a practitioner. The martial arts help you keep strong?
I think so. It gives you confidence that maybe you need at some point. It's good for you physically, mentally, spiritually, and I highly recommend it.
Okay, so if we're not going to worry, then let's have a party.
Yeah.
I hear there's one scheduled in Austin. At Circuit of the Americas on the 4th of July. A lot of good folks, Steve Earle, Sheryl Crow, Casey Musgraves. But this is a family picnic. And of course, you've played with your sister Bobby forever. But how did your boys pick up the music? Did you teach them? Were they just around it? Because you'll have Lucas Nelson, your older son, and Promise of the Real. Micah will be playing with Insects versus Robots. How did they get into the music?
Well, it was kind of hard for them not to get into it. You know, I left guitars and drums and organs and pianos laying around houses, all their lives, thinking that, well, you know, if they ever want to play, there's an instrument. And for years, I just kind of, you know, didn't pay that much attention to it. And then one day, they started picking up the guitar and playing, and Michael started picking up the keyboard and doing different things. And they just pretty much got into it on their own without me having to say, hey, do this or do that. Next thing you know, they're making good music.
Making great music.
Yeah.
And playing with Neil Young, doing some of the best shows that he's ever done. What goes through your mind when you see them playing with Neil Young?
Well, it was great. I went, Annie and I followed him around over in Europe for a few days during their tour. And we, you know, just knocked us out every night to see that.
Also at the picnic is your daughter Amy. She's playing in Folk Uke.
Yes.
With Woody Guthrie's granddaughter. Was she musically inclined early?
She's always been kind of singer. She liked to sing a little bit, and her and Kathy got hooked up together and started doing these hilarious songs, and been really successful at it.
They're great.
Yeah.
And your granddaughter's at the picnic.
Right.
Raylan Nelson.
Raylan, yeah, that's Billy's daughter, and she's good. She's great. She got a, I heard her doing an old song of mine, Local Memory, that I wrote 50 years ago.
Well, it's going to be a great picnic this year. I don't want to forget my friend and your daughter, Paula. Mm-hmm. If she's at the picnic, she'll probably be working on satellite radio because that's what she does these days.
Yeah.
And she's great.
She's doing a good job. I'm proud of her, too.
I'm jealous of her.
She's got a good gig over there.
She's got a great gig, and you know, she started out, you could hear her progress over time,
right.
And then you heard her hit the point where it's like, okay.
Yeah, I got it, yeah.
Yeah, well, love to the whole family.
Thank you.
Beautiful
Thank
family. And the 4th of July show is surrounded by some gigs that are called the Outlaw Music Festival. You're playing with different people,
right.
Avett Brothers on some bills, Jason Isbell, and this fella, Bob Dylan, he's on a couple shows.
I remember him.
Yeah. Sheryl Crow. Maybe you'll get a chance to actually see Bob this time around.
I hope so, you know. We're kind of like two ships, you know, sinking in the night.
I've never heard that before. Well, since we're talking about partying, there's now Willie's Reserve.
Right.
And I was reading the website for it. I liked the little thing it said. The legend of Willie's Stash lives on in Willie's Reserve. And there's edibles and medicinal and different paraphernalia and the like. My wife actually asked me this, if your love of farming somehow played into Willie's Reserve, along with the love of herb, of course. But,
well, I think they're both, you know, pretty much tied into each other. And the farmer can benefit, and also the people who like to smoke marijuana can benefit. And it's also great for the soil. And the hemp product itself has a root about this long compared to wheat, which is about like that. So it puts all those nutrients back into the soil, and it's all good.
So as more states hopefully legalize marijuana for medicinal or recreational use, does that mean then Willie's Reserve would become available in those states?
Absolutely, yeah. As they come, you know, get legal, and it's more and more states all the time.
Well, we recently celebrated 420.
Right. Yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah. Day before, a couple of days ago. I celebrated, I can tell you that.
Did you?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
But it also marked the 5th anniversary of when we unveiled your statue on Willie Nelson Boulevard, and time just flies by.
It does, doesn't it?
And it's that thing is really reflected in God's Problem Child, the passage of time. And so, congratulations on another great album.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for providing the soundtrack to our lives. I hope you have a happy birthday next weekend.
I hope I remember it.
But I guess you don't know what you'll be doing yet.
Oh, no, I have no idea.
Well, that's the way to go. Love you, Willie.
Hey, you too. It's good to see you.
Good to see you, my friend.